Welcome to Battle Cry. This is Jim Green speaking to you. I just trust that you got your Bibles handy because we're going to do a little more studying today. And we're going to continue on with our discussion, Demons and Christians. And we want to explore more in this area because we are getting a lot of requests wanting to know more about this. And people's begin to come alive to the teaching on this. You know, it's been hidden from the Christians' eyes and ears for a long time. And we want to look into the Scriptures more on this. And I just want to go back and mention a few things I covered in the last broadcast, kind of update you a bit. You know, we mentioned there's 13 times that the word possessed or possession appears in the New Testament, and referring to demons, of course, and is used with the word with, possessed with demons or devils or unclean spirits. And 11 of those 13 times, mind you, it is mentioned with the word with. And the other is mentioned of the word of, possessed of the devil. So we saw what God is saying here in His Word, that we can be possessed with devils. We can have devils living in us, our unclean spirits, whatever you want to call them. And we cannot be possessed of them. In other words, they do not control us. And the word, the Greek word of possessed or possession is demonzomai. I believe that's how you pronounce that word. It means to be exercised by a demon, have a demon, be vexed with, or be possessed with demons or devils, okay? And this is where the confusion comes in on this teaching. This is why this teaching is so misunderstood. Because they think when you're talking about a Christian and a demon, they automatically comes to their mind, a Christian cannot be demon-possessed. They relate those two. But I want to let you know, this is not what we're teaching. A born-again Christian, that if he really is walking with God and really is serving the Lord, he cannot be possessed of the devil. But he can be possessed with demons or devils. Amen. And we took you into a lot of scriptures last broadcast, and I showed you where it talks about the men that came for deliverance. And Jesus cast them out. They was possessed with devils. Praise God. So today, I'm just going to go on a little bit of different track here. And, you know, when you go into the ministry of casting out of demons, invariably, you're challenged by the question, is it possible for a born-again believer to have a demon? And I'll tell you what, you know, when God led us into this a couple, 3 years ago, I was so excited about finding some answers for my life that I thought everybody would want to know this. I thought, my God, this is a key to successful living in Christ, is getting these things out of our land. And mind you, I walked 10 years as a faithful Christian. I was not a flip-flop Christian. We held many high positions in the church. We did a lot of work in the mission fields. We was faithful to God. But yet we packed around a lot of things, that vexation in our soul and infirmities in our body. God healed my body. I had a back injury and God healed me. And the way He healed me, I had some demons cast out of me. And it healed me. You can't convince me it's not real, see? I know it's real. God worked a miracle in my life. I can testify. So, we just want to take time today. I want to go a little bit slow and I want to talk about this because I want you to get a hold of this. A lot of things you're packing around is not just your flesh, Christians. I want to let you know. And I've got a little track here sent to me and it is entitled, The Devil Made Me Do It. And a little subtitle is, it says, Can a Christian be demon-possessed? Praise God. And it's by Chuck Smith. And of course, Chuck has a radio program every day on KFIA. And I want to read this, and I'm not making fun of Chuck Smith. And I want you to know that I've got my own opinion, but I just want to bring out some things he is saying on the subject because he is opposed to deliverance. So I want to show you the other side to this, what I have been talking and what we have to combat and fight through to get people to see a lot of their problems is just not flesh. They are demons, okay? So understand where I'm coming from when I read this because this is available for us to read. Now I'm just going to pick out a few things here and bring them out and we'll discuss them, shall we? He goes on like this. The question has been forced upon us, can a born-again Christian be possessed by a demon? The answer based on the scriptures and logic is unequivocally no. The proponents of this unscriptural doctrine have begun to use such terms as Christians being invaded by demons rather than demon possessed. Okay? Now what he is saying here, he's saying that since we can't get people to believe that they're demon-possessed, which we never teach anyway, that seemed like what they're hearing. He said, well, now they're saying they can be invaded by demons. This is exactly right. This is what I'm trying to teach you. We can be invaded by demons or demon eyes. This is a Greek word that I have brought out, and it's all through the Bible, that God's people can be demonized. And deliverance in Jesus' day was for the Jews. It was not for the Gentiles. They came to Jesus, and Jesus cast out demons of the believers, of those by the faith. Praise God. And it's still on for us today. The Holy Ghost in filling us did not make a bit of difference in what Satan has done in our life. This is, in fact, the Holy Ghost is there to expose the works of darkness within us, that light that's come in. Now I want to go on with this. This is nothing more than word games and a smokescreen to try to hide the scriptural weakness of their position. They also present an illogical supposition that the demons can invade or control the mind or body, but not the spirit. This is exactly right. We teach that demons can come in and control certain, the way your body operates, your infirmities, your weaknesses, your sicknesses, the diseases. That's exactly right. And they can control, to a certain extent, your mind, which consists of your mind, your will, and your emotions. This is your soul. This is what we teach. Now, when I say control, I don't mean they totally take control of you, but in certain areas they do control you. What causes Christians to be habitual liars? What causes Christians to go out and drink? Go out and commit adultery and fornication, and certain habits they have that they can't seem to break. What is this? In a certain area of their walk, there is a control by demonic spirits. It isn't just the flesh. And we'll get into this in later broadcast. But I want to go on with this. But I've always taught that they cannot control your spirit because your spirit is what's born again. This is where Jesus Christ, He comes into your spirit. He doesn't come into your soul or into your body per se. He comes into your spirit, into your heart. And this is where he lives. Therefore, Satan and demons do not live in the spirit. They live in the soul and live in the body of a person, Christian and non-Christian. Now, God's word declares that the body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. And we are told to glorify God in our bodies and in our spirits, which are his. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I think I'll read that scripture to you. It's found in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, okay? Which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that scripture. But I'll talk more about this later. Also, in 2 Corinthians, the question is asked, he goes on to say, what communion has light with darkness, and what concord has Christ with Belial? And what agreement has a temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. Now he goes on to say, now to say that a Christian's body or mind can be possessed or invaded by demons is to contradict the word of God and declare that there is a communion of light and darkness, that God and Satan are dwelling together. Okay, now I want to stop there. Now this is one of the pieces of logic that these men use, and not only Brother Smith here, but many, many, many more that I've discovered are opposed to deliverance. And they use this one particular scripture, and I'm just going to dwell today on this one particular scripture because it seems to be one of their favorite, you know. But what he's saying, when people ask, can a demon live in a Christian? And of course, the answer always comes back, absolutely not. Just what I've read there. See, they say the Holy Spirit cannot coexist in the same body with a demon. But I want to let you know, this is not a scriptural answer. It is an extra scriptural piece of logic. Okay? It rests on an assumption. Now, they're assuming that this particular scripture is saying that light and darkness cannot dwell together. This is what they are assuming it's saying. Now, let's look at it real close. Let's take our time and let's check out this one scripture today. Let's look at it, shall we? Let's go into 2 Corinthians here. Let me get my Bible handy. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. And let's start in verse 14. Now let's read this. Now according to this little track here, what he's saying, according to the Word of God, he is saying that light and darkness cannot dwell in the same temple. This is what he's saying. But I will let you know that he is assuming it says that, okay? He's assuming. And those of you that believe the same way, you are assuming the scripture saying this. Now, it is ignorance. And I'm not belittling anybody, you know, their walk with God, saying they're not a Christian, saying they're, you know, they're not living right with God, but I'm saying they're ignorant, and I was ignorant. Ignorance means we're just not aware of things. Okay? Okay, let's look at the scripture real careful here. God does not want us to be ignorant. Paul says, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning such and such. In other words, he didn't want them to be in dark concerning what the Word of God says. And this is all I'm trying to bring out, is I don't want us to be ignorant concerning this one scripture that's used to say a Christian cannot have a demon. And therefore, if we accept that as gospel scriptural truth, then what happens to the problems that we have? How do we get rid of the problems? Counseling? Oh, the Christian circles are full of counselors, and they do people no good. You know what I've talked with many people, what they end up telling the people? Go to a psychiatrist, go to a psychologist, go get you some pills. I can do no more for you. Okay, has counseling done them any good? Absolutely not. There's got to be more for the Christians, okay? Okay, let's look at it. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now notice, Paul was speaking to the Corinthians here. He wrote a letter to the Corinthians. This was a letter that he wrote to them. He stated, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Why? For this reason. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? Question. He's asking them. Alright? He says, if you're unequally yoked, let's say in a marriage, okay? If God's people was to marry a sinner person of the world, that would make them unequally yoked, right? One would be a sinner, one would be a Christian. This is really simple. It's not complicated. He is asking them a question. Obviously, this was going on in the church, and he was asking them, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? Okay? He goes, breaks it down a little bit closer, a little bit further here. And what communion has light with darkness? Now, he's asking a question. He is not stating a scriptural fact here. I don't even see that. It's not even implied that he is saying, period after that. He is saying, what fellowship is there between unrighteousness and righteousness and light and darkness? What fellowship is there? All right, let me ask you, since they use this scripture, I'm sure many of you out there are married to sinners. You know, you might be a man, you might be a woman, you might be a sinner, and you're a Christian. Is it hard for you to get along? Do you live in the same house? Of course you do. All right, then light and darkness do dwell together, don't they? If you live with your mate, you're existing together, but there's no fellowship, is there? All right, this is all Paul was saying. He was saying it was not impossible, folks. That was not even a statement. It wasn't even considered. He's saying, what fellowship there? Fellowship is there. He's trying to get them to say, don't go being unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Don't get friends that's of the world, and you try to be a Christian, and they don't want to change, and you're surely not going to change, and there's no fellowship between you, is there? He goes on, verse 15, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? In other words, let's put it in this terms. What concord has the Holy Ghost with demons? Question. It doesn't say that, but that's what we can just imply that right now. Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? What fellowship there is a person that believes in Jesus Christ, the blood atonement, the gifts, and so on and so forth, the Word of God, with an infidel, somebody don't believe at all? There's no fellowship there. Verse 16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Now remember, he was talking to the Corinthian church. They was the temple of God. That particular body there at Corinth was a temple of God. And each member were lively stones that made up this one particular temple. Okay? Now he's saying, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? In other words, if you was to bring an idol, which you can't see, speak, or hear, inside of a temple of God, what fellowship is there? That's ridiculous. It's like bringing a statue of Mary in a Holy Ghost-filled church and we expecting that statue to do something for us. It's ridiculous. It's just a piece of clay baked with a picture painted on it. That's all it is. It's an idol. But Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost and God the Father are spirits. They are alive, they are well, and they speak and they talk and they act and they can hear. Okay? This is all it's saying. Yeah, see how simple it is? He's saying it's ridiculous. There's no fellowship there. There's no agreement between the two. One is alive, one is dead. Now he says, for you are the temple of the living God. Talking about that particular body there at Corinthians. And God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, what have we discovered here in this scripture? Did it say anything about that light and darkness could not dwell together? Like we just read in Brother Smith's track here. Did it say that? Absolutely not. It didn't even imply that. Did it say that it was impossible for us to be unequally yoked? In other words, a sinner and a Christian could not live together in the same house, same family? Absolutely not. It didn't even imply that, did it? But yet, this is what the unbelievers use. This is what the skeptics and the theologians use. They use this portion of Scripture. Everybody that is against deliverance uses one particular Scripture. It doesn't even imply that. Paul is only asking a question about it. He doesn't say it's a factual thing. Well, if you don't believe it, let's read in verse 17. Okay? Wherefore. Now, wherefore is a pretty big word. It says, because of all this we've just read, because of light and darkness can't dwell together. In other words, there's no communion between them. There's no fellowship between righteousness and unrighteousness. There's no communication between Christ and Belial, or a believer with an infidel. Because of that, wherefore, come out from among them. Now, let's just stop there a minute. Let's just stop there a minute. Come out from among them. That's just what he's saying. So obviously, there were people that were in this situation. Okay? It was totally possible for light and darkness to be existing in the same place, wasn't it? Of course. Of course. But what he's saying in the second half of this, and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. All right, there it is. He don't want them to touch it. He don't want them to have anything to do with that. And this is what we're trying to tell you. If you got demons living in you as a Christian, maybe that you've let in during your Christian walk, or they came down from your forefathers from generation to generation, or they came in when you opened the door and turned a green light on, Satan just come on in because you participated in sin as a Christian, then you have spirits living in you from the devil. You've asked them to come in. It's your fault. On that one hand, if you participated in sin. Now he says, don't touch the unclean thing. Now listen, common sense would tell you, if it were impossible for a believer to touch something unclean, then Paul would not have said, touch nothing unclean. Think about it. If it were impossible for a believer to have relationships with an unbeliever, then Paul would not have said, do not be mismated or unequally yoked with unbelievers. Right? Uh-huh. It is possible. See, what he's saying, yes, it's possible, but as Christians, it is not convenient that you dwell in the realm of darkness with unbelievers and don't touch and participate in the things of darkness because there's no communication. But let me tell you, folks, how many Christians participate in the things of the world? How many Christians go to church on Sunday and then Tuesday night or Wednesday night they're out frequenting the bars? Huh? Come on now, let's get serious about this thing. Now, if this was impossible, if Paul said it was impossible, light and darkness dwell together, there would be no chance for us to ever fall into sin and temptations, right? But yet, invariably, they use this scripture, and it doesn't imply this. Come out from among them and be separate. If it was impossible to be among them in the first place. See? So how can this passage be used to say that Christian cannot have a demon? I mean, that's just illogical. Now, let me go on with this little track here and just read a few more things. I think this is very good to show you the other side of the coin. The Scriptures also teach that we are in Christ and that He is in us. It is Christ in us, our hope of glory. Now Christ said concerning Satan, the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me. If I am in Christ and Satan has nothing in him, Satan has nothing in me, praise the Lord. This is what he's saying. Well, all right, let's look at this. We know Jesus Christ was a spotless Lamb of God, don't we? But we know we're not. It says, if any man sin, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So therefore, we are capable of sinning. Jesus was not. Although Jesus had a will of choice, in the garden, he cried out, in the garden, Father, not my will but thine be done. He had a will, brother and sister, that his Father gave him to choose right from wrong. But he did not sin. He did not give in to that. But we are different. We have Christ in us, but we also have that precious gift of free will choice. But how many times do we choose not to obey God, the Father? And when we obey not the Father, we usually end up sinning, don't we? Mm-hmm. Now, he states like, if I am in Christ, all right, now listen, if I am in Christ, let's think about that. The Bible says Christ in us, the hope of glory, right? That's when he comes in at salvation, and he's the hope of our glory that we're going to receive. But what about us being in Christ? Hey, that's entirely a different story, isn't it? What about us being in Christ? Are we in Christ, or is he just in us, and we drag him around to the bars, you know, in and out of the cesspool of the world, sitting in front of a television set, let all the garbage of the world come in through our eye gate, and take in all that darkness? Listen, let's get serious about this thing. This is nonsense. Half the people that teach a Christian can have a demon are glued to the television set. Preachers too, brother and sister. They sit there in front of those things and take in all that garbage and filth coming through their eye again, goes into their mind, their will, and their emotion. They sit there and get all emotional, all just, you know, worked up over a lot of things. Now, tell me, is that darkness coming to the temple of God? Of course it is, 100% yes. Now, I thought he said that light and darkness could not dwell together. This is what he was implying here. You say, well, it isn't demons. What's the difference? What's the difference if it's demon or it's filth of the world? It's still darkness. It didn't specify a demon is darkness and, you know, all this other lust of the flesh and pride of life and the lust of the eyes is just, you know, all separate all by itself. You say, oh, that's just the works of the flesh. Yeah, it is the works of the flesh. What's the works of the flesh? It's when you act independently of the will of God and commit sin. And when you commit sin, you open the door for Satan to come in and his little demons. It's simple, isn't it? It's not complicated, this thing. We need to be in Christ. If we are in Christ, if we're really walking with Christ, not just him and us, but if we're in Christ, brother, then we have a less chance of being demonized. Satan will not have nothing in us because he can't get in the door. Praise God. Now let's go a little bit on this. What about those experiences of a Christian having demons cast out of them, he's saying? What are the voices that name themselves, the writing on the floor, or the withering on the floor? I do not know, he says. I am thankful that since I do not engage in these unscriptural practices, I do not have to explain them. Now, brother and sister, I will let you know, pastors that's not engaging in spiritual warfare and setting God's people free is unscriptural in itself, because Jesus commissioned us to cast out demons in my name. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now listen, many times when you see Jesus laying his hands on people, first he cast out the demon and then they were healed. All right, now let's read some more on this. He says, I have noticed that some of the names given by these supposed demons, which are more popular, are lust, hatred, liar, gluttony, envy, fear, jealousy, which things are classified in the Scripture as the works of the flesh, which we are to put off, or by the Spirit to mortify. Mm-hmm. Now, what we need to do, we'll go on this another broadcast, but we need to check this out and see what it means to cast off the works of darkness and to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Let's just see what all that means, shall we? Let's just not say that it's not working of the devil. Not once are we commanded to have them cast out. It seems to be that this whole demon trip is a cop-out of the flesh. Brother, I wish it was. I would like to find some easy way to get rid of my fleshly nature. He's got a confession. And rather than the painful process of crucifixion, I would like to just have it cast out. Brother Smith, there is hope for you if you would believe. It is also a way of escaping the responsibility for my fleshly actions. For how can I be blamed if the devil made me do it? Now, brother and sister, let me tell you something. There are only two masters, right? Two masters, Christ and Satan. He says you cannot serve two masters. You either serve one or the other. Okay, two forces in the universe. If the devil made us do it, whose nature are we yielding to? Are we yielding to God's or Satan? And how does Satan work? Satan is not omnipresent like God's Holy Spirit is it? So Satan must have representatives, which is in the form of principalities and powers. The rulers of the darkness of this world. Spiritual wickedness are wicked spirits in high places. Let's keep that in mind. Those are demons. Those are demons. They're not works of the flesh we're talking about that we wrestle against. And when we act independently of the will of God in the flesh, we are yielding to Satan's world. We're yielding to Him, and therefore He sends out His rulers to act through us. That's how demons act. They act their personalities out through a human body. Our animals have you. Now, in the Scriptures, there does not exist one single evidence that Jesus Christ or His apostles or that early church once sought to cast demons out of the flesh, out of any of those who were in the body of Christ. The works of the flesh were recognized and were instructed how to deal with them. Never were they taught that they were to be cast out. Now, he goes on a little bit here. But you know what? I thought this was a real good track because this is what I've been trying to explain to you. How people are so blinded with these Scriptures. And if you can pick out in 2 Corinthians 6:14-18, if you can pick out and show me that Paul says that it was impossible for these to dwell together, please write me a letter. I'd like to read that. I have not found one Bible yet where it says that. All he is saying, it is not convenient. It's not practical. It's not logical that these two dwell together, but they do dwell together. Christ and Satan do dwell together. I want to let you know, but there's no communication because they're opposites. But I want to, next broadcast, I want to take you through the Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, and I want to show you many times where light and darkness dwell and exist together. You see, it's not there. You'll have to tune in and find out, won't you? Of course it's there. You see? And then I want to take you eventually into talking about the works of the flesh. What is the works of the flesh that we're to cast off and not cast out? Well, it's found in Galatians. Maybe you just need to read that sometime. It's found in Galatians 5th chapter, verse 19. I'll just read it in closing here. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these." Now here's what it's talking about, the works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You hear this? He is talking to the Galatians here. He is not talking to sinners. I want to let you know that if Christians are participating in the works of the flesh, letting Satan and demons work through their body and bring about these works here, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, there is a mortification of the flesh. There is a crucifixion. In other words, there is a putting our flesh, our independently walking outside the will of God under our feet and taking dominion over that where Satan cannot work through us. That's what that is. And I'll explain it more to you as time goes on. It's not having a cop-out by any means. It means taking dominion. Praise God. And you can't tell me that demons do not activate these things here. Now tell me, can a Christian commit adultery? Oh, how many ministers has fell in adultery? You say, just the works of the flesh. What's the difference? Did light and darkness get in his body some way? Of course it did, causing him to fall. It's senseless to think any other thing. But according to the logic of these opposers, then it was impossible. It was impossible they wouldn't have fell. Think about that. How about uncleanness? Fornication, idolatry. Witchcraft. Think about that. Reading your horoscope every day, Christians? Are you taking in darkness in the temple of God, which has the Holy Ghost in it? Oh, you mean they can't dwell together? Well, you take it in. There's nothing that stops right outside to keep it out, is it? Of course not. Well, my time is up. I just hope that I just broke through one barrier with you out there. I just want to receive letters from you. We receive a tremendous amount of response on this subject, so keep listening, tuning in, keep praying, and you'll be able to see this, and you'll even submit for deliverance and get healed. Praise God.